The step speed reading. Okay, here we are. We're on number five. All right, here we go. Where are we? We are rocketing into the fourth dimension of existence. Okay, we are on chapter six, into action, page 72. Chapter six, it says, top of the paragraph, have we made our personal inventory, just how we do about it? Well, we have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. What's the next word? Now. So how fast is now? So now these are about ready to be cast out. Okay? Which requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our defects. This is step five. Circle step five. Highlight it. All right, now, so here I am. I'm in front of my sponsor. I have 22 pages. 22 pages. And guess what I don't have on it? The thing. I don't have the thing on it. I left the thing off it. It was an incident that happened with a woman and a bunch of guys in a drunken stupor in Knoxville, Tennessee. Bad. So I'm dragging this with me. I'm embarrassed. There's no way I'm going to tell anybody. I am not going to tell anybody. I'm taking it to my grave. So the big book knows that. Nine times they're going to ask, are you sure you're telling me everything? So my sponsor ain't stupid. So he goes, you got the four step? I said, yes, sir, I do. I have the four step. He goes, good. Because this is what happens if you skip it. You ready? I want you to go down to the second paragraph halfway down. It says, the best reason first. He says, I want you to circle that. So I circle it. He says, because if you skip it, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. He goes, okay, genius, you got that? I was like, yes, sir. He goes, so you got your fifth step, your fourth step? I said, yes, I do. 22 pages. He goes, good, here we go. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions, and you're going to answer them. He says, time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. He looks up at the table, and he says, are you trying to hold back any certain facts of your life? I'm like, oh, my God. He's seeing through my soul. I want you to write number one. That's the first time they say it. I was like, I looked at him straight in the eye, being a good AA person, doing an honest program. I said, absolutely not. I lied right to his face. Okay? Then he said to me, trying to avoid this humbling experience, he looked up, he goes, are you trying to avoid this humbling experience? Are you telling me everything? I'm like, yes, sir, I am. I'm there. And now I'm thinking, oh, my God, he sees through me. How does he know this? Put number two there. That's the second time they mention it. They have turned to easier methods, right? Number three. He says, have you been turning to easier methods and leaving something off? Now I'm thinking to myself, Greg, listen, I've come here prepared. I got 22 pages. He says, well, I'm just asking the questions. Don't kill the messenger. He says, almost invariably, which means almost always, they got drunk. So if they don't say it, they're going to get drunk. It says, having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We, the first 100 people of Alcoholics Anonymous, think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. Right, number four, did you complete your house cleaning? I said, yes. Now I'm getting nervous and I'm starting to tap my foot. And he's looking around like, ew, who's tapping their foot on the floor? So it says, they took inventory right but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. And that's what I was doing. They only thought that they had lost the egoism and fear. They only thought that they have humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense that we find it necessary. Until they told someone else, circle the word all, their life story. Write number five next to that. And he says, have you told me your whole life story withholding nothing? And then he paused for effect. And I was like, I was about ready to break. But I didn't, because I just didn't want to tell him this thing. We're going to, if you have any questions, ask me on the break, because right now I'm running behind time, so I will tell you that. Okay? The next thing is, if you go to the bottom of the page, it says, we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long and happy in the world. Right, number six, he goes, are you being honest with me and telling me everything? I'm like, thinking, tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. I'm like, yeah, man, I am. He says, good, let's go to page 75. At page 75, at the top of the page, the first paragraph, I want you to box that in. That is step five. Box that in. That is step five. Right, step five. Page 75. It says, When we decided, when we decide who is to hear our story, we waste how much time? Time frame, no time. So these people, where are they coming up with 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, step up? Yeah, I got it. It says, we have a written inventory and we're prepared to take a long talk. We explain to our partner what we're about ready to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged on a circle, life and death errand. This fifth step, folks, if you don't think it's a life and death errand, don't do it because it is that serious. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored. I am always honored to do, and I tell them that before I start this fifth step, that I am honored to be here with you and to do this. And this confidence, I will take it into meditation because I meditate after every fifth step. And I pray to have it removed because I used to get really bunched up on some fifth steps that I've heard, okay, especially with women. I mean, I've heard some really horrifying stuff. All right, so now he comes back. He says, okay, genius, we're almost done. He says, we park at our pride, going to it, eliminating every twist of character. That's number seven. He says, are you eliminating every twist of character? I said, yes, sir, I am. Now I'm really getting worried. I'm getting sick to my stomach. He says, every dark cranny of the past. Are you withholding anything? Are you telling me every dark cranny of the past? I'm like, well, Greg. And I said, yeah, I am. I mean, I was about ready to tell him. That's number eight. I was about ready to tell him. Then all of a sudden, he looked at me, he says, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to ask you one more time, and then it's all over. He says, if you want to hold out on me, you could hold out on me, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get drunk. He says, so I ask you one at a time, I want you to write number nine. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing. Are you withholding anything on your fourth step from me? And I looked at him straight in the eye, and I never wanted to drink again. And I was like, yes, sir! It was 1984. It was this girl in Knoxville, Tennessee. And when I was done, I was like, and I looked up at him, and I said, oh, my God. And I was looking at him waiting for a response, like, you freak. And I took a deep breath, and I couldn't believe I told him. And the tears are just, I mean, I've never told anybody. It's coming down my face. And he looked at me, and he goes, shit, that ain't nothing. And he told me his thing, and I'm like, oh, my God, you're sick. So that's why I don't tell things to a priest. I tell them to a sponsor. And do you know I don't remember the next 22 pages? I really don't. I just remember the thing. So, folks, when you're doing it, just say, tell me what you came here not to tell me. And then tell them this. And then go along with the fifth step. Then do the fifth step. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the way you do it, okay? I write the fifth step. I have the resentment form in my hand, and I say, okay, who do you want to kill right now? Give me a name. Give me a name. Give me a name. And I write it down. And then I go to the cause, okay? Then I go across. I don't go up and down. I go across, all right? Then I go to the next one. Then I go to the next one. Oh, Susie Lou didn't let me. I don't care about Susie Lou. Next. I want the big, meaty stuff. When they come and they tell me what they came not to tell me, everything else really doesn't matter. I give them an hour to do it. That's it. They're done. I shoot them through because they're not going to remember anything because I didn't remember anything. I just want to know the meaty stuff. You know, that's what I want to know. And it works all the time. Got it? So it says here, it says, now we are delighted. We can look at the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. That is not true with me. I did not have that. It says here in the next paragraph, returning home. Circle that, highlight it. This is what you want your sponsees to do. Returning home, we find a place we can be quiet for an hour. All right? And that's what I do. All right, I went home. Well, it probably was, you know, 5 seconds, but I got ADD. It seemed like 9 days. But I did exactly what this thing said. It says, carefully reviewing the first what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. I take this book down from the shelf. I just happen to have it with me. Taking this book down from the shelf, we turn to the pages which contain the 12 steps. So I want everyone to turn to page 59. So let's do it. Page 59. Now, I ask you this. Reviewing the first five proposals. Let's review it. Number one, I ask you all, do you admit you're powerless over alcohol? and that your life is becoming unmanageable. Yes, will you come to believe that a power greater than yourself will restore you to sanity about alcohol? Okay. Will you make a searching and fearless moral made a decision to turn your will and your lives over the care of God as you understood him? You did. We did it on our knees. Will you make a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourself with your sponsor? Will you do that? Will you be willing to do that when you leave here? Yes. Why are you holding yourself with the hat? Okay, so now I look at them, and then I look at the fifth step, admit it to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. All right? So then I say to myself, carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything. I say no. For we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is the work solid so far? Yes. Are the stones properly in place? Yes. Have we skimped on the cement put in the foundation? No. Have we tried to make mortar out of sand? No. So then we move on to page 76. I've done all that in an hour. 1 hour. And this guy is just like, his head's spinning. So I'm trying to keep him with me. It says, if we can answer to our satisfaction, which we just did, we, and what's the next word? Then. How fast is then? We then. Next, now, we immediately. Okay. We then look at step six. Cool. Let's look at step six. Now, the forms that I'm going to give you have 68 character defects known to man. What I want you to do is just check each one which you think is you and write a little bit why you think it is you. Okay? But then, on the other side of the page, is how to get to the opposite of it. Because we're great at alcoholics at beating ourselves up. Let's stop it today. Let's have a vision on where we want to go. Does that make sense? So I give you that in the form. Okay, it says here, we then look at step six. We emphasize a willingness and would be indispensable. Are we now ready? And I ask you all this. Are you now ready to have God remove all the things which you have admitted are objectionable? Yes? Can he now take them all, everyone? Now, this is the six-step prayer. If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. The original text said, humbly upon our knees. So we will all invite you to get on your knees and do the seven-step prayer. When ready, we say something like this. Join me, my Creator. I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step seven. All right. And everybody notice one thing? Why don't they say amen at the end of three? You don't say amen. Think about this. All right. At the end of step three, right here, they say amen. At the end of step three, they don't say amen. But at step seven, they say amen. That means, so be it. Amen. So be it. Everything that has happened up to here, so be it. The third step prayer just gets you spiritually fit to do these big, bad steps. Got it? So there's no amen. You still got a lot of work to do. Now, whatever we just saw, whatever we just witnessed, whatever we just happened, so be it. Let's move on. So let's all just move on. Now we're going to steps 8 and 9. What's the next word after step 7? Let's wait a week. Want to come back after dinner? Circle now. Now we need more action, which without we find that faith without works is dead. Let us look at circle steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. Because we have a harms done others list, right? We wrote it in the fourth step. It says here, we made it when we took inventory. Step 4. We subject ourselves to this drastic self-appraisal. What's the next word? Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage in the past. Okay? It's going to tell you what to do on some things and how to work this. On page 77, it says, On page 77 at the top of the page, at the moment we are trying to put our lives together, but this is not an end of itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves in maximum service of God, and that's why we're doing the ninth step. It's also going to tell you what to do if you hate somebody and what you do to dislike somebody. I want you to turn to page 78. It's all going to also tell you on the first paragraph, second paragraph on page 78, what you do if you owe money. Circle, owe money. Most alcoholics owe money. And then go to the bottom of that paragraph, the second paragraph on page 78, and it says, we must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid. Perhaps we have committed, circle, a criminal offense. It tells you what to do if you have a criminal offense. Tell me this is not an instruction page. And then page 80 at the top of the page, before taking drastic action. Before taking drastic action. Now, I get all my license back. They call me up. They give me all my license back. And they said, oh, and by the way, do you want to upgrade to captain? I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, there's a captain slot in Washington. I'm like, yeah? So I get all my licenses back. I upgrade to captain at this airline. And they ship me off, and I end up in Charlottesville, Virginia, where I meet my second sponsor. So my second sponsor takes me from 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And I keep running into these big book guys. So there I am in Charlottesville, Virginia, and I knew I needed help right away. So what we did here is, I don't know if you believe this, but I was a liar and a thief. Imagine that. And I used to steal and break into houses and steal for drugs and alcohol. And so what happened was I needed to pay that restitution back. And so what I did was I wrote down everybody. And I wrote down everyone's name and the money I owed and the neighbors I used to break into and all this stuff. And I'm not even thinking that I'm going to have to go do this. And my sponsor's like, all right, well, cool. When are you going to go up to New Jersey? Why do I need to go to New Jersey? He goes, you got to pay all these people back. I'm like, I'm just going to send them a card and there's going to be cash in it. And he says, I don't think so. He says, I think you need to make direct demands. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why do I have to fly around just because I could fly for free? I'm an airline pilot. I could fly for free. I was going to report him to GSO for abuse. And so he says, well, listen. He says, this is what we need to do. Let's turn to page 80. He says, before taking drastic action, and this is pretty drastic, he says, we might implicate other people. We secure their consent. I think my mother and sisters still in the neighborhood, still live in the same house. I got it out. He says, if we are obtaining permission, my mother and sisters have consulted with others, and he says, you consulted with me. I say, you go up there and make direct amends and ask God for help. So I prayed and meditated about it, and I thought, okay, well, this is what I'm going to go do. I used to make my amends in a shirt and tie. I don't know what that was all about. I just did it. And I put on a suit and tie, and I go to New Jersey, and I call a family meeting. My sisters come. My mother's there, and I said, listen, this is what we got to do. Supposedly, if I do this nine-step thing that these guys are asking me to do, I will stay sober. And they said, well, what do you got to do? I said, well, I used to break into the houses around here. My mom was like, oh, my God. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to kill that little son of a bitch when I get back to Washington. And so my sister's like, what? And I was like, yeah, I used to break in, and I guess I got to go give money. And my sister's like, well, what will happen? If you don't, I'm like, well, I don't know. They say I may drink again, but I don't want to hurt the family name. I'll take the hit. And they're like, oh, no, go ahead. My mother's like, oh, that's cool. Go ahead. You can go. So I got the suit and tie on. Hi, Mrs. Sullivan. Little Dougie. They call me Little Dougie. I don't know why. Anyway. Little Dougie, you know, Little Dougie comes back to make good. I'm in the suit and tie. Oh, don't you look nice? Let me make you some coffee. So I got all these Catholic cards, except the one for the Bronsteins. I got a Jewish card. And then I said, Mrs. Sullivan, I got to tell you something here. I think you know that I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, I've heard. We're so proud of you. I didn't know you had a problem. That's because I ran away when I was like 17 and never came back. And so she's like, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm doing something called the ninth step, and it's going to help me never to drink again, and I need to do this. And she goes, oh, why are you telling me this? Here's the card. Oh, aren't you nice? And she opens it up. Thousands of dollars fall on the floor. And she's like, what's that? Mrs. Sullivan, I used to break into your house and steal money, and that's probably the amount that I stole from you. She's like, oh, my God. God, I was going to kill my sponsor. And she goes, is it a lot of money? Oh, my God, it's hundreds, Darren. I swear to God. And so she says, should I tell my sons what you did to us? And they're my best friends. And I'm like, Miss Sullivan, you need to do what you need to do. But is there something that I could do to right this wrong? She goes, no. I don't know. Why did you tell me this? I said, because I never want to drink again. I really don't. I really don't want to drink again. I did not want to come here, but I don't want to drink more. And then we started talking for about an hour. And then before you know it, she's like hugging me and kissing me and patting me on the back. 9 times out of 10, the unexpected will happen. Mine was 10 times out of 10, every amends I made. So then I went to the Bronsteins. Hi, Mrs. Bronstein, Swihart. It's Nardi. I went on and on all day, all day. God, I was exhausted. And I left, and I just started running after my sponsor at this meeting. I'm going to kill you. And he goes, where are you going next week there, champ? Now, this guy called me champ. The other guy called me genius. I'm like, next what? Next week? And I said, okay, I'll do the women. And so now I got the biggest one, which is this girl, Christina, and I destroyed her. I destroyed her family. They got divorced, blah, 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 blah. So I went and I saw Christina, and I knocked on the door, and she opened up the door, and it was like, you know, the Bee Gees were playing. I'm like, whoa! You know, I was looking, oh, God wanted me here to go back with you. I get it now. So I go upstairs, and I tell her the story, and I tell her I'm doing the 9th step, and, you know, I don't want to drink again, and can you tell me the harms that I've done you? And my God, it was amazing. She ended up going to jail. She ended up seeking therapy for, I don't know, I guess it was about 10 years. I destroyed her whole family. She went on and on and on, and it destroyed me. And I said, how could I right this wrong? Is there anything I could do? And she goes, yeah, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. Whew, never ask that question. No, I'm kidding. You need to ask that question. And she goes, let's get in the car. And I got in the car, and I went to her sister's restaurant in West Paterson, New Jersey. And her sister comes running out with a knife. I'll kill you! And I'm like, oh, I'm hiding me. He's like, no, he's coming to say sorry or amends or something like that. And so we sat down and we talked. And she told me what I did to her. And I had no idea. I didn't even remember knowing her. Although we were together for many years, she was this little kid. I destroyed her because of what her mother and father were doing, arguing over what her daughter was doing because she was with a knucklehead like me. I mean, it's just the fiber, the thread, we just grab people. And I said, what can I do to right this wrong? She goes, are you serious? I'm thinking to myself, maybe you should say no on this one, big guy. I was like, yeah. She goes, get in the car. We go to her mother. Now we're at her mother's house. And I'm like, how you doing? And she's sitting next to this real big guy, and it's not her husband. It's this new husband. And she's like, Douglas. Douglas, is this the scumbag you've been telling me about for years? And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. So I made amends to her. She told me what happened and what I did and how I destroyed her life. And she told me all this, and it crushed me and it hurt me. And I said, is there anything I could do to right this wrong? And I'm thinking, don't say it. And I just had to say it because I don't want to drink more. I don't want to drink more than this is going to hurt me. She goes, are you serious? Yes. Get in the car. We go to her ex-husband. Now, he came running out. He knocked over his daughter, and I was going to have to lay him out because we have to protect ourselves. We don't kneel before anybody. I got to protect myself, and I probably could take him, you know. So anyway, the wife jumped in front, and he stopped, and he didn't accept anything. He said, get off the property. He literally called the cops. So I left. And, but that was painful. And I dropped her off at her house, and she said, you know, this is the most healing thing that I've ever experienced in my life. I want to thank you for this. Never call me, never write me, never talk to me again. And she closed the door. And I'm thinking, I'm going to kill that sponsor, son of a. And I get on this airplane, I fly back, and I'm running after him again. He goes, all right, champ, where are we going next week? You're on a roll. So I did this every week. Lisa Alfano. What do you want? Michigan, California, Texas. Oh, God. And then I had the big one. I had some warrants out for me in the state of New Jersey. And I just couldn't look over my shoulder anymore. I couldn't do it. I was exhausted. I couldn't do it anymore. And so I decided for me that I was going to make this. I was going to do it. And so I called up the airline that I was with, and I told them I was going to go away to jail for a while. They're like, what? And they said, hey, listen, you know, we put $250,000 in your ass in this rehab stuff, so, you know, go. Do whatever you got to do. He says, did you call the union? I said, yeah. And I called the union. And then I talked to my mother and family. And now my first wife, who now is my ex-wife. And I said, "What? I can't pay child support or anything, and they're going to send me to jail for that one." And she says, no, your mother called and your sisters called, and they said they're going to cover your child support. And she says, don't worry about the alimony while you're in jail. Yeah. So that was covered. And I went up to New Jersey, and I surrendered myself with the state troopers. There's a state troopers there. And I walk in, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm Doug Muir, and I'm here to surrender myself. And the guy goes, who are you? I'm like, you don't know who I am? I've been thinking about you for 15 years. You don't know who I am? And so he looked me up, and he goes, Mr. Muir, where have you been? And I throw some handcuffs on me and throws me in the back. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, this is a bad move. And this young attorney comes in for the town or the district, whatever they call you guys. And he was about 30, you know, 6 or 5 or 4, and I was 32 at the time or 3. And so he says, why are you doing this? I'm like, why am I doing this? I said, because I'll never get over drinking if I don't do this. You're the last one. This is it. I'm over after this. Can we just get this over with, please? Because this is killing me, and I'm scared shitless. He says, do you have any idea how much paperwork I got to do? I'm like, dude, I'm in handcuffs. Do you think I care? And so he kept asking me questions. You know, probably, he just kept asking me questions. He kept asking me questions. And I was very sincere, and I just wanted to get it over with, and I wanted to go away. I had no idea about what was ready to hit. 9 times out of 10. I had no idea what was about ready to hit. And he goes, okay, I got to leave. I'll be right back. And he left. And I thought he was gone for like 90 hours, and it could have been 5 minutes. And he comes back with a couple pieces of paper. And he says, this is the damage that we think that you caused the state of New Jersey. It was a pretty large 6-digit number. And what does it say in the big book? We make the best deal we can. So I looked at it, and I said, okay, can we start off with $500 a month, and then I can get you up to about $750, and then I get you up to about $1,000 after about 6. He goes, are you negotiating with me? You're in jail. Are you negotiating? I'm like, no, I'm being realistic, because you are not the only one I owe money to. I owe a lot to a lot. I said, I just want to be realistic. I don't want to be late on a payment, and I don't want you knocking on my door ever again. You're probably the nicest guy in the world, but I really would rather not see you. And he goes, I can understand that. And so he agreed to it. Before you know it, I'm outside the jail. And I'm looking behind, and I'm like, back then I don't think we had cell phones, so I had to go back in. And the guy's like, what do you want? Can I use your telephone to call my mom? You know? And my mom picked me up. She goes, where are you? I said, I'm out front. She goes, out front of the jail? I said, no. I'm out front. Will you drop me off? Can you come pick me up? And she came pick me up. And she said, what do you want to do? I said, I'm free. And literally, that hit me. I was like, oh, my God, I am free. I'm free. Now, my last payment was June 2nd, 2002, so it took me about 7 years to make it all. But I kept a 1989 Bonneville. I kept a 900-square-foot little place, because if I was to buy anything, my sponsor says I was cheating everybody. And so anyway, I said, drop me off at the airport. Now, with Union Airlines, I was with a Union airline, and it wasn't United, so I could tell you this. I hop on United jump seat from Newark to Washington. And we just say, hey, how you doing? This is Doug Muir from XYZ Airline. You mind if I hitch a ride? And they're like, no, go sit in first class. We always put each other in first class. I never flew coach until I had to start paying for it. And so I'm sitting in first class, and I'm sitting next to this old lady, and it hit me. I was an atheist up to that point. I'd finished all my amends. I was equal with the universe. Everything was level. And I had no fear, I owed no one. But if you have not experienced this, you are so missing it. And I just bursted out in tears. And I needed and wanted God at that point in time, right there. And I started crying. This old lady next to me is patting my head. I'm like, I want God. I just want God. And I'm crying. And the flight attendant comes over and she goes, what? I want God. And then she goes up to the captain and he's like, this pilot wants God. Or, swear to God, most embarrassing moment. And I couldn't catch my breath. And I just was elated. And it was like an orgasm times a million. It was just unbelievable. It was really the most unbelievable point in my life ever. I've been trying to mimic that feeling ever since, because I'm a great alcoholic, and if that's good, can you imagine even better? Thank you. And so I went home and I started making payments. And I was done. And you know, for the first time, I noticed that I didn't think of alcohol. And from that point forward, I have not thought of alcohol. Can you believe it? So I've come so far, through this program. And you know how adamant I am about the big book. And it's caused the people like... the stories you hear with Richard and the stories you hear with me and the stories you hear with Chris is that it doesn't matter the amount of time you have. I know guys with 25 years, I wouldn't want 1 second of their sobriety. But it's the people who do the deal that I want their sobriety. And the people, even if they have 5, 6, 7 years, that come up here and speak, that could still rile my ass up and get me excited. That's what it's all about. It's people helping people. And if we could just bring this message to others, the young crowd, you guys are so beautiful here. If we could bring this original message to our sponsees and watch them get spiritual awakenings and get free like I was, like I am, and you wonder why I skip through life and I have all this just beautiful family, everything. I mean, sometimes I'll be driving to work, or I'll be in a different country working, and I'll just like start crying, thinking, oh my God, is it real? Is this real? Ouch, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm pitching myself, and it gets better and better and better after 14 and a half years. And if someone tells me it's a pink cloud, I'm going to smack them upside the head, because it's a God consciousness. Don't let these AAs bring you down. It's not a pink cloud, it's a God consciousness, and go for it, and you could have it for 15 years if you want it. Contingent. So long as you continue to work the steps, you sponsor others through the steps, you pray and meditate, and number four go to meetings. Okay, all this can be true, all this could be you. I'd like everybody to turn to page 84. This thought, second paragraph, says this thought brings us to step 10. Now, Richard and Chris are going to talk about this, so I'm going to brush over this real quick, though. It says, this thought brings us to step 10. Circle step 10. I used to love guys who come in, I practice the principles in all my affairs. I work the steps every day. Really? How do you do it? I think, and drink, and whatever. It always comes in threes, right? Don't drink, go to me. Whatever. I don't know. They had slogans. I saw them, like, looking behind me reading slogans. Step 10. You ready? This is how you work the steps daily in your life. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory. That means step 4. So you're going to continue to take step 4. And continue to set right any new mistakes. That's step 10. As we go along, we vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. As I'm doing my ninth step, as I'm cleaning up the past, I'm doing nightly inventory, so I'm not continually destroying myself. Do you see what I mean? I want to do nightly inventory. Folks, nightly, 14 and a half years later, nightly. I do it 99% of the time. I still write this stuff out. I do. If I could do it, you could do it. Nightly. It's amazing what you're going to find out about your beautiful self. It says here, we have entered the world of the spirit. That's step 11. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a circle lifetime. 15 years, still doing it. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. That's just the fourth column of the resentment. When these things crop up, we ask God to remove them at once. When these things crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. That's steps 6 and 7, right? Remove our shortcomings, step 6 and 7. We discuss them with someone immediately, step 5, and we make amends quickly, steps 8 and 9, if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Step 12, that's working the steps daily in your life. Ready? So this is what I do. Okay, so it says here, the last paragraph, these are the 10-step promises. Last paragraph, page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything and everyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity has returned. So, came to believe that a power greater than self could restore us to sanity, step 2. Step 10, sanity comes back. Sanity comes back in step 10. We're ready to rock and roll. All right? We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it like a flame. That happens to me. Absolutely. He says we react sanely and normally and will find that this has happened automatically. We will see our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort in our part. That's happened to me. It just comes, exclamation point. This is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. I could walk down the beer aisle. I could walk into my restaurant when there's a two-hour wait, 500 people, and I'm dancing on the bar Friday night doing the YMCA. And everyone thinks I'm drunk. And no one knows I don't drink for a living. Because I'm high on life. People are like, hey, boss man, you were tore up. Yeah, man, tore up. Whatever. And then I leave at 10. I hate drunks. But I like employing 86 people. I like giving restaurants medical. No one has that. I'm the only one that does that. Charlottesville, Virginia. I tell you, give this away. It's amazing what you get back. Okay? It says here, it says we are neither fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality and safety and protected. We are safe and protected. We have not even sworn it off. Instead, the problem has been removed. Is that big? The problem has been removed. It's been removed for me. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor afraid. That is our experience. Here we go. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So how do I do that? Well, I'll tell you how I do that. Let's go down to, it says here in the next paragraph, we are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent, always a contingent, on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Do you see a theme falling around here? Go to the bottom of the page. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy. Circle step 11, by the way, and highlight it. We shouldn't be shy about this matter. Better men than us. I've been using it constantly. It works if you have the proper attitude. I want you to go to the first paragraph. I want you to highlight and circle when we retire at night. I have those instructions, and I have that on a spreadsheet for you. I want you to go to the next paragraph. On awakening, I want you to circle that. On awakening, I want you to circle that and highlight it. I want you to do that paragraph. So, are you ready? This is what I do to keep me spiritually fit. This is what I did last night. Last night, totally exhausted, jet lag, a whole nine yards. Got on my computer, opened up my 10-step form, and I started writing. Do I have a resentment? Let's read it. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, afraid? Do I owe an apology? I broke that down into 4 questions. Was I resentful? Was I dishonest? Was I afraid? Was I kind and loving to all? What could I have done better? What could I have packed into the stream of life? So I go to bed. First thing I do at night. At night. 1. How do you spell knees? I get to my knees. You could stand on your head and spit wooden nickels with my gun. Think about this. We're always down here looking up at the moon. What happens when the astronauts first got on the moon? They turned around, they looked up, and they saw the Earth. Do we really know what's up and down, left or right? There really isn't any. That's all a fallacy. But I get to my knees for the humbleness. And I thank God for not allowing me to drink nor smoke cigarettes. I'm an ex-cigarette guy. I think I was about 2 years sober, maybe three, I don't remember. Okay? I get to my knees, spark up the computer, and I do the 10th step, which is really the 11th step questions. Right? I have that for you. It's already in writing. Just print it out. Type it, write it every day. Every day. Okay? I sleep like a baby. Then in the morning, what do? If you have a relationship, you have a wife, you try this. Pray and meditate with them. Try it. It'll change your whole relationship. So my wife and I, what do? We look at the 24 hours ahead. Yes, we are techies. We look at the 24 hours ahead. First thing we do. So we look at the 24 hours ahead. Then what we do, so 24 hours. Then what we do is I read the 24-hour book. She reads the Al-Anon book. I'm not even try Al-Anon. She reads the Al-Anon book. And then we read a non-denominational called Science of the Mind book. It's, visualization. Somebody's talking about The Secret here. Stuff like that. And a lot of it came from there. So that's the spiritual book we read. Then I set my alarm on my phone for 20 minutes. Why do I do that? So I'm not like this. All right? And then we do 1 hour on the weekends. Saturdays and Sundays, we do open-eye meditation. Totally cool. We get this beautiful house in Florida and our backyard and palm trees and, all that stuff. And then when we come out of contemplation, we talk about it. Can you imagine starting your day with your loved one doing that? It is so powerful, it'll blow you away. How can you argue and fight? And I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, okay? So that's what I do. And then I repeat. And I repeat. And I repeat. And then I come back, and at the end of the week, I look at the circle and triangle. How many meetings did I go to? How many steps did I work? Did I do my 10-step and 11-step at night? Did I pray and meditate every day? Okay, good. I went to 2 meetings. Good. Did I sponsor somebody? When I'm in Florida, I am sitting at my house between 10 and 2. Everybody knows it. Jacksonville, Amelia Island. I am at my house 10 to 2, and I sit there. A lot of times I get knocks on the door, probably 80% of the time. And it's a guy there or a girl there. Hey, can you bring me through the steps? Absolutely. Come on in. My wife starts cooking. If it's a girl, she'll listen to the 5th step. She'll have lunch. This girl, these people are just like, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing. And I zip them through the steps. And when my wife is done with them, she gives them an hour. If it's a woman, gives them back to me. I'll go out on the deck. I'll give them an hour. I come back in. Every Saturday. Our Saturdays are given up. If someone doesn't show up, then we go out and we consider it, all right, God wants us to go play. Let's go have a lot of fun. We work hard. We play hard. We hang out together. We pray, meditate together. It's an unbelievable relationship. Folks, you can have anything that you desire. These AA meetings are starting to become a real drag on me. All right? The negativity is like you walk in, it's like, poof. I'm like, oh, my God. Is this not like the best life in the world? I'm trudging. Give me a break. You're trudging. Look at you. You're all beautiful. We're all here together to help each other, This is the best thing that I've ever experienced in my entire life, to be able to give back for free, I absolutely love being here with you all. I was trying to think if I'd rather be anywhere else, but I do enjoy this. Sometimes the traveling gets a little much, but when I get up here and I see their faces and I see the people going, I get it. Yep, I get it. And especially the young kids that are here, man, oh, rock on. Rock on. And then I want to end up with this. Please turn to chapter 7, Working with Others. At the top of that page, I want you to write step 12. Step 12. This is the 12-step page. And I want you to highlight this. First paragraph. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking If you're immune to something, what does that mean? Can't get it? Immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. I'm in San Francisco. I did something with this this bank in California. It was wonderful. And we did it Wednesday in L.A. We did it Tuesday, Wednesday in L.A., and then we did it San Francisco. And it went so well, the guy goes, listen, let's do it Friday. He says, I can get another 200 people in here, and that means X amount of dollars. And these people are excited, and these other people have been telling other banks, and so this means X amount of dollars. And he kept on throwing this X amount of dollars. And I looked at him, I said, I can't. He says, what do you mean you can't? I got to be somewhere. He goes, well, cancel it. I said, I can't. He says, what do you mean you can't? He's not used to no. He didn't know I was coming to see you. You are so much more powerful than him. If he truly desires to do more business with me, he'll be there on Monday, don't you think? Maybe not. Am I cool with that? Absolutely, I'm cool with that. Absolutely, I am cool with that. But I was not going to miss this. There's no way, no how, I was going to miss this with you. And once you get like that, and once you get excited after 15 years of doing this and being excited all the time, do I have some bad days? Absolutely. 2% of my life, maybe. But by doing this on a daily basis, by helping you, and by spreading the original message, my life is a million times different than I ever thought it was going to be. And you all can have that too. I truly love you all. Thank you.